On a frigid Christmas Eve in Victorian London, Ebenezer Scrooge sits counting coins in his freezing office. "Bah, humbug," he snarls when his clerk Bob Cratchit timidly requests Christmas Day off. This isn't just any miser. Scrooge has elevated penny-pinching to an art form. He rejects his nephew Fred's dinner invitation, dismisses charity collectors with cutting remarks about prisons and workhouses, and returns to his gloomy mansion alone. What makes this tale endure nearly two centuries later? Perhaps because we all recognize something of ourselves in Scrooge, the temptation to close our hearts, to choose self-interest over compassion. His journey speaks to our deepest hopes about human nature, that no one is beyond redemption. That night, as Scrooge prepares for bed, something extraordinary happens. His former business partner, Jacob Marley, appears. Dead 7 years, but very much present, wrapped in the heavy chains he forged in life through greed and indifference. "You will be haunted by three spirits," Marley warns, offering Scrooge his only chance to avoid a similar fate. The ghost of Christmas Past, a strange, childlike figure radiating light, guides Scrooge through his forgotten memories. We see young Ebenezer abandoned at boarding school, finding refuge in books. These scenes reveal a once imaginative boy who later suppressed his sensitivity in pursuit of wealth. When his sister Fan arrives to bring him home, mentioning their father's improved kindness, we glimpse the family dysfunction that shaped him. At Fezziwig's Christmas party, Scrooge witnesses his former employer creating joy for employees with modest means, leading to his first revelation. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune. The ghost's journey culminates with Belle ending their engagement, telling him, "Another idol has displaced me, a golden one." These strategic scenes reawaken Scrooge's buried humanity, revealing not a villain, but a wounded soul who chose money over love. The Ghost of Christmas Present, a jolly giant surrounded by abundance, transforms Scrooge's barren room into one overflowing with food, suggesting that abundance comes from sharing, not hoarding. This spirit takes Scrooge beyond his social circle to witness Christmas celebrations across society. Miners on desolate moors, lighthouse keepers on remote rocks, sailors at sea. People with far less than Scrooge find joy in human connection, precisely what his wealth has failed to provide. The Cratchit family dinner forms the emotional center of this journey. Their modest celebration, with its tiny goose and meager pudding, reveals a wealth Scrooge's money cannot buy. When Bob Cratchit proposes a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast, Mrs. Cratchit's angry response forces Scrooge to confront how others perceive him. Tiny Tim's vulnerability becomes the catalyst for growing compassion. When Scrooge anxiously asks about the child's fate and the spirit throws his own callous words back at him, "If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population," Scrooge experiences genuine shame. He's no longer just remembering his better self, but actively developing empathy for others. The final spirit, silent, shrouded, and pointing inexorably forward, embodies our deepest fear. Not death itself, but dying unmourned and unloved. Unlike the previous ghosts who showed Scrooge what he had been or what others currently experienced, this phantom reveals what he will become unless he changes. The psychological brilliance lies in making Scrooge witness his own posthumous insignificance. He watches businessmen casually discuss his death, his possessions stolen by the poor, and his funeral unattended except by those bribed to appear. "It's likely to be a very cheap funeral," one debt collector remarks, "for upon my life I don't know of anybody to go to it." Another responds, "I don't mind going if a lunch is provided." This casual indifference mirrors Scrooge's own attitude toward others throughout his life. The cosmic justice is perfect. He who cared nothing for human connection dies without it. Contrast this with the Cratchit household mourning Tiny Tim. Despite their poverty, this family creates a legacy of love that survives death. When Scrooge finally confronts his own neglected tombstone, his desperate plea reveals complete transformation. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Scrooge awakens on Christmas morning, transformed, restored to the man he might have been before fear and greed hardened his heart. Discovering he hasn't missed Christmas, he immediately acts, sending a prize turkey anonymously to the Cratchits, making amends with the charity collectors he'd dismissed, and joining his nephew's dinner party. The next day, when Bob Cratchit arrives late, Scrooge surprises him with a raise and offers to help his family, promising to discuss matters over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. This practical support, not mere sentiment, proves his genuine transformation. He becomes as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, and keeps his word about Tiny Tim, who did not die, becoming a second father to the boy. While often read as a simple morality tale, A Christmas Carol presents a sophisticated critique of Victorian social policy. Dickens wasn't merely advocating for individual generosity, he challenged society's entire approach to poverty. When charity collectors visit Scrooge, his response about prisons and workhouses directly criticizes the 1834 poor law that made public assistance deliberately humiliating. The Ghost of Christmas Present reveals two children, Ignorance and Want, yellow, meager, ragged, scowling, wolfish figures who represent society's neglect. The Spirit's declaration that they are man's places responsibility on human institutions rather than individual failings. Ignorance's doom marking warns that neglecting education and welfare threatens society itself. Scrooge's transformation embodies Dickens' vision for social responsibility. His promise to help the Cratchits represents not mere charity, but a commitment to addressing structural poverty through sustainable change. Nearly two centuries later, A Christmas Carol resonates because it addresses timeless human struggles, self-deception, social responsibility, and our need for connection despite our flaws. The supernatural elements reveal deeper truths about human psychology and relationships. Scrooge's journey from isolation to engagement mirrors our own struggles to maintain compassion in a world that often rewards selfishness. Dickens masterfully balances moral purpose with artistic excellence. Scrooge isn't simply a villain, but a complex character whose miserliness stems from childhood abandonment and disappointment. His redemption works because we see his capacity for joy before its suppression. Dickens' vivid descriptions create immersive experiences that make abstract concepts tangible. We don't just understand generosity, we experience it through all our senses. We return to this story each December for more than holiday sentiment. Scrooge's transformation reminds us that no heart is too hardened to change, that it's never too late to choose connection over isolation. Tiny Tim's "God Bless Us Everyone" captures the story's essence, that true blessing comes through opening our hearts to others at Christmas and beyond.